Bible study in Proverbs. So you can turn to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. So we're going to sort of start and end with Proverbs 1, verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, oh, I've got the wrong title written down here. Not off to a good start. All right. This is lesson number 4. And it is entitled, Fear to Be Wise. Okay, so we've had 3 lessons in Proverbs. So it seems like it's a good time for a test, right? Everybody likes tests? We'll call this more of a pop quiz, okay? Pop quiz. All right, so I have a list of Proverbs. Okay, 10 of them, in fact, and these are, some of them come from the book of Proverbs, some of them are other cultural proverbs, all right, so some of them very old, some of them maybe a little newer, but I have a list of 10 proverbs, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the proverb, and I've put all of these, obviously they come from different cultures, languages, times, and whatever, so I've put all these in sort of roughly the same sort of English. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read the proverb, and you, the pop quiz part, are going to determine, does this come from the book of Proverbs or not? Okay, so I'll read the proverb. If you believe or think that it comes from the Bible, from the book of Proverbs, then raise your hand. If not, just keep your hand down. Okay? No concordance searches or asking Siri or anything like that. All right. So here we go. First one. There is no fear where there is faith. Is that from the book of Proverbs? No takers? Okay. Very good. That actually comes, that's a Kiowa Native American Indian tribe proverb. Number 2, judge not by the eye, but by the heart. Is that from Proverbs? 2 for 2. That comes actually from the Cheyenne tribe. Okay, number 3. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice early in the morning will be considered as cursing him. Does that come from Proverbs? Oh, we've got some takers for Proverbs. Some are still not sure. Yes, that actually comes from Proverbs. Proverbs 27:14. Okay. Number 4. Evil enters like a needle and spreads like a tree. Is that from Proverbs?
Could you repeat that?
Evil enters like a needle and spreads like a tree. That's actually an Ethiopian proverb. Okay, number 5, he who begins too much accomplishes little. Is that from Proverbs? Doing pretty good. It's actually a German proverb. Number 6, words should be weighed, not counted. Any takers for Proverbs on that one? Words should be weighed, not counted. Okay. Nope, that's actually a Yiddish proverb. Number 7. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. Okay. That is actually, yes, from Proverbs 17:28. Number 8. We're almost done with this pop quiz, and I got to say, you're doing really well. Number 8. Those who do not fear God are not strong. Okay. No, that comes from the Native American Indian tribe, the Senecas. Number 9, the sluggard who does not plow because of the cold will beg in the harvest and have nothing. Ooh, lots of hands. Yep, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. Yeah, the sluggard. Number 10. All right, so this is the final one. Good and evil cannot dwell together in the same heart. No takers. Okay. That's another Native American Delaware tribe proverb. Okay, so obviously everybody did really pretty well in that. But you notice a lot of those statements are very similar to things that Proverbs actually says. And even some of them, some of you are sort of straining. I don't know. And it can be surprising, actually, how close they can be. So cultures have a well of collective wisdom that is stored in their cultural proverbs. And these are sayings that develop from observations of life, and they're intended to instruct and can be very, very similar to proverbs in the Bible. So here's a few others that, the wording may not necessarily be similar, but certainly a lot of the ideas. A man who uses force is afraid of reasoning. This would be a Kenyan proverb. Examine what is said, not who speaks. That's an Arab proverb. Shared joy is double joy. Shared sorrow is half a sorrow. That's a Swedish proverb. He who always thinks it is too soon is sure to come too late. I think that's my life proverb. That's a German proverb. Here's one you're probably familiar with. Two wrongs don't make a right. Proverb from England. This was really good. We just had to include it. If you go to a donkey's house, don't talk about ears. That's a Jamaican proverb. And would probably look good on the wall of our house. Here's one of those really close. A sin against a neighbor is an offense against God. Now, had I put that one earlier, some of you might have bid on that one. That's actually from the Sioux tribe. Speak truth in humility to all people. That's, again, from the Sioux tribe. So, again, a lot of these proverbs that you find in all these in various cultures and times are similar, very similar to a lot of things we read about in Proverbs. So, what is the difference with Proverbs in the book of Proverbs and these cultural collective wisdom proverbs? Well, though they sound similar to cultural sayings, the difference is seen right from the start. And we see it here, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. All right, so in this study, we want to see what Proverbs says about the fear of the Lord and how that it relates to acquiring wisdom. And obviously, that makes these proverbs very different from many of these cultural proverbs that we read. All right, so the fear of the Lord. Certain phrases can be used so much that we start to lose the true sense of their meaning. I remember hearing a story one time of a guy that had been saved as an adult, and he had no church background, and so he wasn't used to all of the church sayings and little things, that people just take for granted. And, so things had been going along. He had joined this church and going along pretty well. And then somebody started talking about their church plant. Now, if you've been around church, obviously you understand that that means the planting of another church, as a missionary endeavor. But he had not. And so then he started worrying. Okay, I knew these Christians were going to get weird. There's some sort of plant involved that we've got to do something with, or we got to maybe offer incense to or something. He thought he was talking about a shrub instead of a church plant. And that story just sticks out in my mind. But we get used to phrases, even biblical phrases, And when we get too used to them and too familiar with them, a lot of times we don't fully understand them. And I believe, honestly, that the fear of the Lord is one of those kind of statements. We hear it. We use it. We've heard it just over and over again. But what does that really mean, the fear of the Lord? So if you're like me and you hear fear God or fear the Lord, you probably have a couple of thoughts, and those are showing reverence toward God and perhaps maybe being afraid of God's judgment or being fearful of offending God in some way. Those are probably the things that would just immediately pop in my mind if asked to define the fear of the Lord. But biblically, there's more to it than just that. All right, so a good place to start to define the fear of the Lord is actually to go back to the law. So Deuteronomy chapter number 10. And I know this is outside of Proverbs, but we're going to come right back. But Deuteronomy chapter number 10. All right. So verse number 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So here we have, I would say, in the overall expression here of fearing the Lord in this verse, it shows us that the fear of the Lord is a total covenantal loyalty to him. And obviously, we especially understand the context of Deuteronomy and even chapter 10 in particular. It is a context of God's covenant. So fearing the Lord is an expression of a total covenantal loyalty to him. And notice what else it's joined with in this verse. So it means walking in all his ways. This would be all of his ways as revealed in his written word, walking in all of his ways. And it means loving him. And it means serving him wholeheartedly and with our entire soul. Or a good way of reading that would be with all of our being, with all of our person. And the word for serve actually means to work for, and it's the word typically that would be used to describe bond service or what we might call slavery. So in all of these descriptions, we see that hint of loyalty coming through, but we also see love, and we also see that this fear of the Lord that's spoken of here is obviously a vital connection to him. So even, you know, we don't like the imagery of bond service or slavery, and it certainly has negative connotations for a lot of good reasons. But it is one of the images that is used to speak about our relationship to God. Now, it does involve love, but it also involves that sort of ownership that God has purchased us, that we are his possession. So the fear of the Lord is joined with this vital connection to God, and it is going to be seen in being fiercely loyal to him, being sure to walk in all of his ways, and serving him with all that we have. Now, when we think about that expression of the fear of the Lord in the law, we realize that to speak of reverence for God and fear of judgment, that those two things just don't really capture the full meaning. We might, for instance, we might be called before some powerful, high-ranking official. So you have to appear before some powerful, high-ranking official. And in doing so, you may very well be afraid of offending them. And you may very well be careful to follow all proper protocol before them so that you're showing them the proper honor and respect. But you could do all of that without loving them. You could do all of that without being connected to them in any real and vital way. And you can certainly do that without serving them with your whole heart and your whole, your entire soul. All right. So again, reverence and fear of offending God, those are certainly included in the fear of the Lord, but it is much more than just that. Okay, so now we're going to come back to Proverbs. And first of all, Proverbs, when it speaks of the fear of the Lord, which it does in a number of instances, Proverbs does not in any way contradict what the law says about the fear of the Lord that we just looked at in Deuteronomy chapter number 10. And actually, when we read the book of Proverbs and we read that in line with the law and what it has to say about the fear of the Lord, we realize that rather than diminishing or in any way conflicting, Proverbs is actually going to contribute. In other words, we're going to gain understanding of the fear of the Lord through the book of Proverbs rather than losing anything from coming from the law to this book of wisdom. All right, so to start with, the fear of the Lord is equated with the knowledge of God. And we see that in places like Proverbs 2 and verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Those two seem to be simultaneous. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And we talked already about how these words for wisdom and understanding and knowledge and how they are a different term, different words, but they are part of just a group of words that are all related that speak about this subject of wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is equated with or simultaneous with the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord is also joined with trusting and knowing the Lord. So in Proverbs 3 and verses 5 to 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So here we see the fear of the Lord being joined together with trust in God and knowing God. Now the word for trust that is used there, and you see it in verse number 5, the word for trust that is used is the word that means to take refuge in, to put your confidence in. And this is a term that we have studied Psalms enough to know that it has a covenantal association used very frequently in the Psalms. So a couple of examples, Psalm 9 and verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Psalm 13:5. But I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. So this word for trust, again, it's used in a covenantal context frequently in the Psalms to describe one who has put his full confidence. He has completely taken refuge in God. That's why we get the prayers, as we've looked at, as those laments and those prayers that show, look how numerous my enemies are. Look at these distresses and look at these calamities. And he's praying for God to act because he has put his full trust and his full confidence in God. He's not going forth to defend himself. He's not asking, God, give me mighty weapons so I can go out and fight and I can go out and engage this enemy and what have you. But but those prayers are covenantal prayers. So because he has taken refuge in God, he's put full confidence in God. That's this word trust that's being used here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Put all of your confidence in him. And then we get the second part. So fear of the Lord joined with trusting in the Lord, and then also joined with knowing him. And that's the word for acknowledge there in verse number 6. So the word for acknowledge is a word that means to know, the Hebrew yada, and it means to know. And it refers to an intimate knowledge. It refers to a personal knowledge of God. So we would say that it refers to a close relationship with God. That'd be more common way that we might express it in today's terms. So have a close relationship with God. Take refuge in Him. Trust in Him. Put your full confidence in Him and fear the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is actually further described as a covenantal refuge in Yahweh. All right, and this occurs in a verse in the Proverbs that sounds like it could come from the Psalms. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. And again, that sounds exactly like that could have come from any number of the Psalms that we've studied over the last year or so. Now, the word for refuge that is used here, and it is a little bit different than the word for trust that is used. It is sometimes translated refuge. It's sometimes translated shelter. It's a very common word in Psalms. It's used in places like, here's an example, Psalm 62, verses 7 and 8. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge, there the word is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge, and there it is again, for us, Selah. So the fear of the Lord, then, is expressed again in these strongly covenantal terms, even in the book of Proverbs, that it is related to putting your full trust, your full confidence in God, taking complete refuge in Him, and that knowledge of Him that is that intimate and close relationship with God. Again, that doesn't in any way change what was said in Deuteronomy 10:12, but it amplifies it. It multiplies it. It gives us an even fuller understanding of what it means to fear the Lord. So the fear of the Lord, then, is not a matter of being rich or poor. So here in Proverbs 1:7, we're told that it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, as it says later, I think, in chapter 15, verse 33. The beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Well, again, the fear of the Lord is not a matter of simply being rich or poor, or simply making wise choices pertaining to your health. Whereas when we look at these other cultural sort of proverbs, that really is about as far as they go. They might have something to say about, controlling our tongue. And you notice some of the ones I read had to do with that. Some others that I have found have had to do with that. How to get along with your neighbor sort of thing. How to treat people fairly. And a lot of these same kind of things, when it comes to wealth and the use of resources and generosity and all these kind of things. Well, they're all very similar. But none of those things in those cultural proverbs are talking about taking refuge in the Lord God of the universe, whereas the book of Proverbs is. And the book of Proverbs is telling us that it is that refuge that is the very beginning of wisdom. So the fear of the Lord in Proverbs, it's not a matter of just being rich or poor. It's not a matter of just maybe having a well-managed life. But it's actually a matter of life and death. All right, so we want to look at some of these statements. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So you notice in these verses how the fear of the Lord is tending toward life. And of course, obviously, when we put that together with other things in the Proverbs, we understand that really the stakes or the issues here, they are life and death. Not merely how to manage your bank account, not merely how to, you know, have a good relationship with your neighbor across the way, and that's that sort of thing. Though Proverbs touches on those things and can get very practical about a lot of those kind of things, but nevertheless, true wisdom is shown to begin with the fear of the Lord and is a matter of life or death. Well, furthermore, in Proverbs, through the fear of the Lord, we avoid evil and walk in the way of wisdom. Now, you remember in Deuteronomy 10:12 that the fear of the Lord means walking in all of His ways. Well, we see this echoed again in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 14 and verse number 2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Proverbs 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. All right, so this is sort of a survey of what Proverbs has to say about the fear of the Lord. So we can clearly see that the fear of the Lord is more than just our attitude or our posture toward God. Fearing the Lord includes showing proper reverence. I don't want to in any way belittle that or say that that's not important or not included. It is showing the proper reverence to God and fearing offending God. We should fear offending God. Yes, those things are included, but it's also more than that, certainly not less than that. So fearing the Lord is, I'm putting it this way, fearing the Lord is a right knowledge of Him and relationship with Him. And that's just sort of, again, making a definition kind of in my own words. The fear of the Lord is a right knowledge of Him and a right relationship with Him. So we even see it coming out in Proverbs that knowledge of God, it's a personal knowledge. It's not a, it's much more intimate, a close relationship. It's not like, if you maybe were a sports fan and I had a lot of baseball cards, football cards, and things like that when I was a kid. And some of my favorite players, you know, had all these stats and things about them memorized. I knew where they were born and what year and you know, where they played in college and, you know, whatever. You know, I knew a lot of these stats. I did not know any of them personally. You know, I never met them. I did not have any sort of relationship with them. I just knew a lot of facts about their life. Well, this kind of knowledge of God is that personal, intimate, relational knowledge of God. It's not just information, but it is a relationship with Him. And also, having this right relationship with Him means that we have taken refuge in Him in full confidence. We heard that echoed there in Proverbs 3, that you trust in the Lord with all your heart, that you don't lean at all to your own understanding or your own judgment. So in other words, we don't acquire wisdom simply by making judgments and observing life around us. No, we acquire wisdom, as he said, don't be envying the wicked, but be in the fear of the Lord all day. So that is the way we acquire wisdom. So when we look at Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So looking at these three statements in particular in Proverbs, and they're all very, very similar, they're telling us that the fear of the Lord is the very beginning for wisdom. All right, but what does that mean? What does that mean that it is the beginning for wisdom? Well, the word that's used is a word that actually means first, and it certainly can be, you know, in a sequence, it can mean that, it can be chronological, it can be that sort of thing. But here, it isn't first in the sense that it's like a set of steps to climb or tasks to accomplish. You know, so you do this first, then you move on to the next thing, and you move on to the next thing. It means that it is of first order importance in acquiring wisdom. It is of first principle of wisdom. It is a first foundation of wisdom. You're not going to acquire wisdom without the fear of the Lord. Well, this shows us, again, how Proverbs differs from these wisdom collectives in various cultures. So wisdom in Proverbs is not really about methods. It's not really about a 12-step program or 6-step program to accomplish this or to accomplish that. It's not really what wisdom is about in Proverbs. Proverbs can be very practical and to seem, quite on the surface, but we have to remember and keep this first principle in order to understand Proverbs correctly and to apply them properly beyond just being merely good advice. And that all begins with the fear of the Lord, the right knowledge of Him and the right relationship with Him. Okay, so that's our lesson on the fear of the Lord. Any questions on that here this evening? Okay, no questions?